Welcome to the Medovia Menopause Podcast, your trusted source for evidence-based, science-backed information related to menopause. Medovia is dedicated to changing the narrative about menopause by educating, raising awareness, and supporting women in this stage of life, both at home and in the workplace. Visit medovia.com to learn more. I'm one of your hosts, April Haberman, and I'm joined by Kim Hart. We're co-founders of Medovia, certified health coaches, registered yoga teachers, and midlife mamas specializing in menopause. You're listening to another episode of our podcast, where we offer expert guidance for the most transformative stage of life, bringing you real conversations, education, and resources to help you overcome challenges and reach your full potential through midlife. Join us and our special guests each episode as we bring vibrant, fun, and truthful conversation, and let us help you have a deeper understanding of menopause. Hi, listeners. Today, I have Kim Hart on the show. Kim, as you know, is our co-host here for the podcast, and today I have the privilege of interviewing Kim as part of our Women's History Month testimonial series. Kim gets real on this episode and shares her menopause story, which I'm sure is going to resonate with a lot of you. So sit back, grab that cup of coffee, and take a listen. Hey, Kim.
Hey. You had me do this because you said I won on the menopause story.
You did. Unfortunately, you won.
Yeah, no, I did.
That's not one I think that you want to win,
no.
But you did. So thank you for allowing me to interview you today to talk about your personal testimony through menopause, because I think your story is an important one for other women to hear and your struggles. So you do win, but it's all for the good here,
Kim. All right.
So I know you very well. All of our listeners don't. So we're going to start off like we have with our other interviews. Tell us how old you are, a little bit about yourself, and when you started either perimenopause or menopause. What age?
Okay. I'm 55 and I should be in postmenopause, but I'm not. I have two kids who are no longer in the house, and so empty nest, which is amazing and gives me joy and sadness at the same time. I've worked in the high-tech industry in HR roles for decades, and this May I'll be at Microsoft for 25 years, which is crazy. I love, you know, walking outside as a way to get things out of my head. I am a yoga practitioner, a meditation teacher. I love to learn. And so during COVID, I got my health coach and my life coach certification and really knew I was called to help women through menopause, because when I talked to my friends, everyone was experiencing it differently and no one was talking about it. So I'm having a blast in this journey I'm on with you, and I have not felt this excited about something in as long as probably pre-kids, as long as I can remember. So, you know, I joke that with my kids that we talk about vaginas and menopause and all those things all the time. And I'm so excited that they are going to have a view of this that I never had. So That's what brought me to here.
Yeah. Well, and it hasn't always been rosy. Right. I mean, here's the thing. You're in a good place right now, and I love working with you too. So I'm so glad that I'm on this journey with you. But it hasn't always been rosy. And that whole menopause transition for you has been difficult. And I'm sorry that you haven't reached that momentous, or what's the word I'm looking for? The milestone.
Oh, right.
Being menopause and that celebration. Yeah, you'll get there. But I want you to tell the audience a little bit about your story. So let's back up, let's reverse, and tell us a little bit about that story.
Well, before I do that, I just want to say, like, to the audience, like every month where I get a period, April has to hear about it because I'm so frustrated that it's still happening, but whatever. So I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, which is where your ovaries make cysts rather than release an egg on most months, very early on, and didn't have my period for maybe a handful of times in high school. In college, I went on the pill so that I could have a regular period. And when I went to try and go get pregnant, I wasn't ovulating because of it. So with my first, I did some infertility treatments that grew the eggs and then dropped them. And I got pregnant that way. And I tried again that way and I miscarried. And I said, you know what? I don't want to go through this anymore. It was emotionally draining. It was hard on my marriage. It was, physically exhausting because of all the doctor's appointments. And I had read somewhere that women with PCOS who eliminate sugar and carbs, like if you were a diabetic, likely would create regular ovulation. And it did. Within 2 months, I was like, oh, that's what ovulation is. Oh, that's what my period is. And by the fourth month, I was like, I'm ovulating. It's time to make a baby.
Let's go.
And we did.
Yeah.
And that's where Erin came from. So it's always amazing to me that that journey and the journey that took. Since then, I'm gluten-free because of what it does to my body. I realized all the things that it does to my body. But fast forwarding into the menopause journey, and it's one of those things that I look back on and like, oh, that was part of perimenopause. I got the murder scene periods, right? That we joke about and talk about all the time. And I have stories of, hiking and having to find things in my backpack because I couldn't make it to a bathroom and, didn't want to change my clothes. But I had an amazing OBGYN. Now, she didn't call it menopause or perimenopause. And if she did, I didn't hear it, right? Because I didn't know what that meant. But she found polyps in my uterus. And so I had a DNC that scrapes all the lining out, and I got an IUD, and my periods are hardly even noticeable. And not at that time. And that was probably 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the IUD was an amazing way to enter into the next stages of perimenopause because it smoothed out some of the hormones that were fluctuating. Mm-hmm. And then about six or seven years ago, I started having rapidly losing weight, which is totally not customary to my body my entire life. Shaking, heart palpitations, muscles. I could barely walk down the stairs. It was really scary. Mm. It turned out that it was hyperthyroid or Graves' disease, which is where your thyroid's producing more than you need. And I went to see an endocrinologist who gave me, some medicine and put me into remission for Graves' disease, which was great. It was a terrible feeling. And ever since then I get kind of irregular periods along the way, which are nothing, but still happening. And then that's where we are today.
Yeah.
From an actual like physical perspective of what's happened to me in menopause.
Right. Well, and there's more to the story too, though, because I know you've had difficulty sleeping, and that has been a real challenge for you. And your journey has been, as part of the story that you're telling here, your journey has been very holistic. Right. And there, your diet, clearly you're not getting rid of gluten-free because it's the popular thing to do. And you just, you're gluten-free. It really has helped your body with the sleep piece of it and having difficulty sleeping, that had effects on, you know, brain fog and clarity, yeah, thinking clearly. And then your journey, I don't want to steal your thunder here, but you made your way to HRT, and I that did. Made a big difference too. So tell us a little bit about that part of your story.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about slowing down and eliminating stress all the time, right, during this time. And I won't go into this full story here. And anybody that wants to know, I'm happy to have coffee or whatever. But COVID was very stressful for my family. And I had just almost debilitating anxiety, kind of walking around in my body for a while, not knowing what was going on. I wasn't sleeping. And the brain fog, I was scared to even open my mouth, which, you know, if you know me, you know that that's never a problem for me. So I tried the melatonin, and I tried the tart cherry juice and the magnesium, and some nights that worked. But most of the time it was very difficult falling asleep and staying asleep, waking up to the worry machine, as I call it, right? That just reels going on was not helpful. So I did hook up with a doctor who is certified by the Menopause Society, and I got the estrogen patch. And I didn't need, typically women, as you know, April, when they take a estrogen patch, they take it because transdermally estrogen absorbs in the body better and it doesn't need to go through the liver. But also they add a progesterone pill to help round out the hormones. I didn't need that because my IUD had progesterone in it. So when my IUD comes out, I'll need to add that progesterone pill. I mean, it wasn't like a flash of light, but it was very quick where I was like, oh, wow, I feel so much better.
New person. Yeah.
Yeah. But it also was combined with daily meditation. I contribute to most of my health is because of my meditation practice, regular yoga, supplements that help with vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, right? Those kinds of supplements, and just the holistic way that I sort of approach my life from a food, and even the things I put on my skin are all natural. So I've worked really hard to just eat the way that fits my body and use natural products. That seems to calm everything down for me. And when I don't do any of those things, it's like I'm so high maintenance. We go on any trips, and April knows this, I bring like all these supplements before bed and all these supplements
in
the
morning. Yeah, I mix that at night. Yeah.
Yeah. My body just works better when I do that. And so I've learned to listen in a way that I hadn't been able to be quiet enough to listen before.
Yeah. Well, and you bring up a couple of good points here. I mean, HRT definitely helps. I'm on the patch. I take the progesterone at night as well. And I don't know what I would do without that, because I still have night sweats if I come off of it, and I'm not a happy person. My husband reminded me last night of that too. Like, yeah, I remember that whole transition there. Like, what are you talking about over there, honey? But HRT certainly helps, but the lifestyle piece of this story is really where the majority of that change happened for you and the help. And I think that's the hardest for women, is accepting the fact that we have to change what we have always done in the past. You know, what we've worked before might not work for us going forward in this midlife and beyond, right? And it does take work.
Yeah, it does. And experimentation too, right? On what supplements work best for you. Before I go to bed, part of my concoction is triphala, which is an Ayurvedic herb that helps with your digestion, so that what I do for my tomorrow self, right? Mm-hmm. My digestion flows the next day, no problem when I do that. And I sleep better because of the supplements that I take before bed that helps with sleep. And if I don't do those things, the tomorrow Kim is not happy with yesterday Kim.
I like the way you put that, actually. And that's important too, is to do your research, experiment, find what works for you. We know that there are, you know, 1,000 different types of probiotics as well. And one that works for one person might not work for the other, but that gut health is so important as well. Lowering that, those cortisol levels are important, hence your yoga, your meditation, your breath work. We're going to have to unpack all of these things on future podcasts. And we've talked about some of your struggles, but I'm wondering if you were talking to your daughter, if you were talking to Erin and she was sitting right in front of you and you had advice for Erin going into perimenopause or even before that stage, what would you say to her? What advice would you give young women right now?
Yeah. And I think we've had a few conversations with young people that are like, well, I don't need to know this right now, right? I'm too young for it or whatever. I think that learning about what's going to happen so that you know what the journey is going to be. So when, had I known when I had those, you know, the murder scene periods that this was part of this journey, I probably would have put some of the things I'm doing now into place earlier, or at least found out more information. My mom didn't say anything. And, you know, fortunate for our two daughters, they have to hear about it every single day.
Too much information,
mom. But I think becoming informed, because I joke, and you've heard it on the podcast and all over the time, like by the time I got here, it would be solved.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. And you know, I kind of had to come to terms with like, okay, this is my menopause, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And embraced it for what it is. Soon as I put all the pieces together that this was what was happening,
right?
Which I didn't, early on.
Right. I think you are correcto mundo, as yeah. I say, it's that early education. I think that that's the best piece of advice is to, dive in, do your research, get a good healthcare practitioner.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say
that. Listen to you, will hold your hand through it, not discount what you're saying, your symptoms, your opinions. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that. So, Kim, thank you for being vulnerable.
Yeah, of course.
Hearing your story, I think it's going to be helpful for other women. And is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want our listeners to hear?
Well, I think it's important. And you alluded to finding a healthcare provider. Like, look, you have to self-advocate for yourself in this space, right? You just have to understand what's going on with your body and look for help until you find something that resonates with you. I think it is easy to avoid dealing with it. And it's easy to not want to change the things that you've always done, but you should feel good going mm-hmm. into the second phase of your life, and you don't have to feel bad, right. But it does, unfortunately or fortunately, take some work to really learn what works for you. And I would encourage everyone to invest the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that, unfortunately or fortunately. So we're going to spin it back to fortunately, because we always say that we get to redefine ourselves in midlife, and we get to thrive, and we get to do things for ourselves that maybe we didn't have the time to do before because all of our attention was on other people, perhaps, right? Especially if we have kids. And now we're in this place where we're having to care for elderly adults and friends. And so we get to. So I love that spin on it.
Yeah, I do too. And I've, like I said in the beginning, like the work that I get to do right now is, you know, go find your thing. Mm-hmm. Go take care of your body, feel good, and then be curious. Like we did a podcast the other day with Bev, who's coming up in this packet of information, and she is doing improv class and pickleball. And I'm like, gosh, that is so cool that you go do something that you've never done before.
Yeah.
So go find your thing. Once you've invested in taking care of yourself, go find your thing.
And have fun.
Yeah.
Have fun. Right.
As I say to my kids all the time, fun is good. Fun is good.
Fun is so good. Yeah. Okay, let's rapid fire. Uh-huh. I had to really think about what I was going to ask you in rapid fire because I know so much about you now, but I came up with a couple of them. So I'm curious, Kim.
I'm scared, kind of.
No, these are simple, but I'm like, oh, I don't know these things about Kim. Sweet or salty?
Sweet, 100% every time.
I was so wrong on that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I eat the savory.
Salty.
I eat the savory because I can stop. Okay. But I can't stop with sugar once I start.
I learned something today. Okay. Ocean or lake?
Ocean. Waves.
Okay.
If you ever can't find me, I'm at a beach somewhere. Literally.
If I ever can't find you, I'm seriously going to go down to Edmonds. I look for you down on the beach. Yeah, I know where Kim is. Exactly. Ocean. I love oceans too. Hiking or biking?
Hiking. Mm. And, you know, everyone that knows my husband, Brett, knows he's a biker, but I don't like to go fast and I have a lot of control when I'm hiking and falling off my bike, which I've done more than enough times. Not my favorite.
This is why we get along. As long as my feet are on the ground, I am good. You go, girl. Yeah. Okay. And I know I've asked you this before, but what's the best piece of advice that you have received in the past?
Okay. Well, if you haven't heard in a past podcast, my best piece of advice was with my grandfather who said, if something doesn't meet your expectations, change your expectations. That's my favorite. Okay. So my dad said that his neighbor, Ed Scanlon, told him to don't be a bit timid.
Don't be a bit timid.
Go for it.
Okay. Bravery.
Bravery, assertiveness, ask for what it is that you want. Don't tiptoe around. Don't be a bit timid. Ed Scanlon. I have no idea who he is, but that's one thing my dad would say all the time. Don't be a bit timid. That's what Ed Scanlon would say.
Yeah. I always tell my daughter, I want to hear you roar.
Exactly.
You don't have to roar. I mean, roar like a lion, right? Yeah.
I had someone ask the other day, like, what would be your entrance song if you walked into a room? And I said, roar.
Wow.
It's such a good song.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I'm going to think about that one. What would my song be? We get to.
I'll interview you and ask you that question on a future podcast.
Okay. All right. For now, I'll keep roar. Okay. All right. Well, that is a wrap. And until we meet again, go find joy in the journey.
Thanks, April.
You bet. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Medovia Menopause Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please give it a thumbs up, subscribe for future episodes, leave a review, and share this episode with a friend. There are more than 50 million women in the U.S. who are navigating the menopause transition. The situation is compounded by the presence of stigma, shame, and secrecy surrounding menopause, posing significant challenges and disruptions in women's personal and professional spheres. Medovia is out to change the narrative. Learn more at medovia.com. That's MIDOVIA.com.